focused on those words. Take a moment to reflect on the words of that song, the atmosphere of faith. That's the atmosphere in which our miracles are presented, the atmosphere of faith. God only responds to faith. Without faith, we can't please Him. Without faith, we can't even come in His presence. The atmosphere is in faith. It's how we experience our breakthrough. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. While you're standing, if you would please turn with me to the fourth chapter of Romans. And the word for this morning is coming from verses 17 through 22. And you have it? Say, I have it.
I have it.
Let's read together as a family. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Repeat after me, please. Faith.
Faith.
I have it.
I have it.
And I know how to use it.
And I know how to use it.
Faith.
Faith.
I have it.
And I know how to use it.
Amen.
Amen.
Shall we pray? You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now to say thank you for just another day. Thank you for an opportunity to worship today in spirit and truth. Thank you for the word that you have for us today, Father. The words that are spoken today, Father, just be glorified. Be glorified, and let Satan be horrified. Terrified, because we are people of faith, and we know how to use it. Bless these, your people, this morning, and don't let us be the same after we depart from this place today. Now move me completely out of the way and speak to your people through an unfiltered. To my friend, to my brother, to the great pastor, Pastor Mark, and to his lovely wife, and to Pastor Anna, and Keisha, and to my family that's here this morning, to all the great people of this great ministry, good morning and praise the Lord. Let's say it one more time. Faith.
Faith.
I have it.
I have it.
And I know how to use it.
And I know how to use it.
You know, we talk about faith. one of the most practical illustrations of how to exercise or use faith is something that the Lord taught me many years ago through work experience. Now, at one time, I had a job that required me to travel. And because of this, the company gave me a corporate American Express card to pay for my expenses that I incurred while I was conducting business on behalf of the company. They provided me with that card because my resources were insufficient to carry out the task that they had given me. They knew that in order for me to fulfill the purpose to which they called me within that organization, I required access to additional resources outside of my own. So whenever I traveled, I booked flights, I rented cars, rented hotel rooms, ate in restaurants, wherever this card was accepted. So when making purchases, all I had to do was present my card, and everything I needed was considered paid for. Without access to or confidence in the name American Express, and the resources that came with it, my stress level would have been through the roof.
Right.
Because during these trips, I sometimes incurred thousands of dollars worth of expenses that I would have never had the resources to pay for on my own. But fortunately, I had to worry about that because I had this card and I never left home without it. All right. I had this card, and I knew how to use it. And because I knew how to use it, all of my needs were met. As ambassadors for Christ, you and I have been sent forth into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. That is the kingdom business that we're called to conduct. Our job description as blood-washed men and women of God is to share our testimony, minister to those in need, and to serve one another in whatever capacity the Lord calls us to. But that's not always easy to obey, because sometimes we're sent into hostile environments to carry on our mission. And sometimes we're assigned tasks that we don't completely understand or know how to handle. And sometimes we're placed in difficult situations where we have to overcome tremendous obstacles in order to do what's required. But while we're on this trip, on this business trip, on this side, away from our heavenly headquarters, our CEO Jesus has equipped us with all things that pertain to life and godliness. And because we have something much more better, and much more powerful than the name American Express, we can do all that God has called us to do. Our Lord has given us, each of us, the measure of faith, and along with that faith, access to and responsibility for conducting business in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, even Amen. So, because, see, there's nothing within us, and there's nothing within our own name or our own righteousness that enables us to do what God has called us to do. It's His name and faith in that name that equips us. That being the case, knowing how to exercise our faith is critical in our walk with Christ and our journey through everyday life. Life really is a series of problems, trials, and challenges. It is. I know we like to talk about this utopian gospel these days, but life really is a series of problems, trials, and challenges. Heaven's not here. We need to stop preaching that heaven is here. It's not here. But once we get Because once we get through one problem, there's another waiting to take its place.
All right.
We face difficulties in life constantly. Sometimes they're minor, sometimes they're major, and sometimes they appear to be hopeless. But when we have faith and know how to use that faith, we learn that faith is the pathway that takes us from God's promise to us to God's perfection of us. God promised Abraham that he would become the father of many nations. Yet 25 years elapsed from the origination of that promise to the culmination of that promise. Sometimes God's promises to us and for us are delayed. And during those times, we have to remember to use faith and not lose faith. Abraham maintained his hope in God's promise, even though time was ticking with each passing day, and it looked like the likelihood of that promise coming to pass was going to be less and less and less. But that's where our lesson is. How do we use faith and not lose faith? How do we hold on to what God has told us, even when the physical reality? Abraham was able to hope against hope because he refused to submit to the reality of his circumstances. But not only that, he even refused to submit to the reality of Sarah's circumstances. Abraham knew that the reality was they were both over 90 years old. And 90-year-old couples don't have babies.
All right.
He knew this, but he didn't give that reality more credibility and more power than God's word.
All right.
And that's where we sometimes fall short. The job can say that layoffs are coming, but God's word says in Philippians 4 that he will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Both statements are true. Both are reality. But which one will we choose to submit to?
All right.
The doctor says, we don't know what this is and we don't have a cure for it. But God's word says in Psalms 103 that he forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases.
Yeah.
Both statements are true. They're both reality. But which one will we choose to submit to? The enemy says he's got his corner this time and there is no way out. But God's word says in 1 Corinthians 13 that he always provides a way of escape. Well, it might be true, but which one are we going to submit to? Bad news just keeps coming from every corner all the time. And we have no idea how we're going to make it. But God's word says that all things work together.
Yes.
For good. For good.
Yeah.
For those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
Both statements are true.
Yes.
But which one will we submit to?
Yeah.
When we're faced with the choice to use our faith or lose our faith, which choice are we going to make? And that's a choice that's faced mankind ever since the beginning. Joshua presented the choice when he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. The hip-hop group Black Sheep presented the choice when they said, you can get with this or you can get with that. The pastor of this church presented the choice when he said, it's not what you see, it's what God says. We must all make the choice to use our faith or lose our faith. Personally, I choose to use my faith because this text says it takes strong faith to look challenges dead in the eyeball and say, okay, devil, let's have your best shot. I'm armored up. I've got the belt of truth on. I've got the breastplate of righteousness on. I've got the shoes of the gospel of peace on. And above all, I have the shield of faith, which is the word of God, and I'm able to quench every fiery dart he can launch my way. But
we're not done yet. We also have the helmet of salvation on and the sword of the Spirit. Which choice are we going to make? See, our faith has to be strong no matter what we see.
That's right.
In front of us. And see, strong faith doesn't deny physical truth.
Come on.
Strong faith refuses to let physical truth supersede spiritual truth.
That's right.
Because God's word is true. Abraham was fully persuaded that God's promise would come to fruition in spite of everything he saw. He wasn't weak in his faith. He didn't stagger or stumble when God's promise came to him. He was strong in faith, and because he was strong in faith, that's what gave God glory.
Yeah.
Even though all the physical evidence indicated the promise was never come true. The physical evidence that he could see said one thing, the DNA evidence
come on.
That he could see,
come
his
on.
Faith told a completely different story. He knew what faith was,
yeah.
And he knew how to get to it. Give you one more illustration before I'm done. Let me just kind of tell us how we use our faith every day without even realizing it. Every other week, I'm fortunate enough to have my company deposit a paycheck. I wake up in the morning and magically there's some money there where there was none there before,
right.
Believe me. However, even with the money sitting in that account, I can still walk around broke, with no gas in the car, no food on the table, and no money in my pocket. If I don't go to the bank and make a withdrawal,
all right.
There can be $10 million sitting in that account.
Come on.
But I can still be in a situation where I don't reap the benefits of it if I don't tap into the resources that have been provided. That's why James says, faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
To gain access to the resources that he provides us, we have to do something.
Yeah.
Having faith is one thing, but that faith is useless without some works to back it up.
Yeah.
Faith. I have it. And I know how to use it. Heavenly Father, the word was short. Brief, but I pray that you make it effective,
yes.
And change. I plant the seed. It's your responsibility to make it grow and produce a harvest of your people. Just ask that you continue to mold us and shape us into the men and women that you'll have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, amen. We are on this great series of working your faith, and so this is our fifth series, and we've heard God speak many different ways. After every series, we give a challenge. So, obviously, Pastor was saying that if we don't use it, we lose it. The question is, does your current situation, does it carry more weight and power than the Word of God? That's the question I want you to ask yourself this week. Every time you're in a situation, ask yourself, is my current situation carrying more weight and power than that of what God has spoken into my life? Now, what do we teach in this house? What does that mean? You have to know what God has said for your life. Spend time with God and know what he's saying for your life. Thank you for that wonderful word, Pastor. Great, wonderful word. Use it or lose it. Don't have $10 million worth of faith in the bank and walking around faith. It doesn't make sense. But you can't get faith out of God's bank by moaning and groaning, calling your brother and sister and complaining and talking about everybody. Being defeated, not reading the words, sitting in front of the TV, just sitting in front of the computer. None of that withdraws faith. It has to go to the place where faith is. God's faith bank is His word and His voice. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to have offering. We are not. I am not a 10% pastor. I am a give according to what God puts on your heart pastor. I believe in the Abraham Melchizedek covenant, and we base that 10%. We understand the reaping in the sowing. Me and my wife personally give 12%. That was God's instruction on my life. But just give according to what God places on your heart. If you're a visitor, there's three ways you give here: tithe and offering, pastoral seed, which goes into me and my wife's life, and beautiful flowers, which we are connected to, nonprofit ministry, which feeds the homeless. Grace Integral Ministry.
He moves and He reigns, whatever the atmosphere may be.